The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Bank Holiday Monday's action, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Plenty of racing to look forward to. We have Bath, Beverley, Foslas, Kempton, Warwick and Windsor on the schedule on Monday. So plenty to go at. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Right, before we look ahead to Monday's stuff though, Mick, we must look back at Saturday's action because it was the first classic of the season. A first classic for Richard Hannan Jr. as Knight of Thunder turned the tables on Kingman to land the 2,000 guineas.
Absolutely. Outside of the three Richard Hannan runners, and he reversed the Greenham form with Kingman in no uncertain manner, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And I mean, I suppose it's hard to really assess the race at first glance because they're split into two sections and I suppose that leaves a little bit of question marks around it, but the fact that Knight of Thunder came from the same side of Kingman, I know people were blaming the draw for Kingman after the race, but there weren't really too many excuses, were there?
There weren't really. I mean, Knight of Thunder was, as you say, racing in that group until, you know, Kieran went to get after him and he just ran away from the stick. That's why he drifted across the track, and Kieran, being in a wily old campaigner, he knew better than to try and correct him, and he just knew he was running away from the stick rather than hanging for any other reason, and changed his stick hand. Everything went according to plan after that. He beat him fair and square, basically. He couldn't blame the fact that he was on the wrong side, or he got there. He even led, didn't he? Yep. Kingman. And I don't think there are any excuses for him.
Do you think the fact that he won his race on that side, if that makes sense, the fact that if he'd raced against the full field, he might have had that little bit, pulled out that little bit more, and that goes against him a little bit?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. You wouldn't know, would you? It was unsatisfactory in that sense, wasn't it? That there were two distinct groups rather than them all raced together. But it was hard to say. Half a length, head back to Australia, who probably comes out of it with plenty of credit, considering he's hardly bred to be a miler. And there were one or two others that I thought ran really well in the race. Nazoo Canarias showed plenty of speed, didn't he? Mm. That Spanish Raider. And when they go back sprinting with that, which I'm sure they will, that's going to be interesting. Freddie Head's Charm Spirit ran okay. I think it was a good guineas. It was just slightly unsatisfactory. But I think it'd be unwise to start making excuses for Kingman.
Okay.
I think he stayed okay.
You don't think it was the trip then?
I don't think so. I think he stayed okay. We'll probably see more at Ascot, won't we? Or maybe even they might even send you to Ireland, might they? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, yes. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Kingman just stay at seven. He was so devastating at 7 furlongs.
Yeah, true enough.
He was leading at 7. He hit the front, didn't he? So
he shouldn't have any problem with the Marland breeding, shouldn't he? Out of a Galileo mare. And I just don't know. I think we're going down the wrong track if we're trying to make excuses.
Okay, that's fair enough. Good news for Hannan though. Like I say, he got his first classic at the first attempt.
And for Kieran.
Kieran falling back in the winner's enclosure.
How many guineas is that? About five, I think?
Five, I think, yeah. Yeah, he had King's Best in 2000, Golan in 2001, Footsteps in the Sun 2005, 2006 was George Washington and Knight of Thunder on Saturday. So he's, I mean, Kieran Fallon was a bit of a surprise to him. I mean, he wouldn't expect to win too many more classics, would he?
Absolutely not. No, he hasn't got a proper big step. I know he's attached to Godolphin, but he'd be sort of third choice there, if you like, and you're hardly likely to get on a third choice. And he was third choice yesterday on the Hannan team if the betting's anything to go by. Although Richard Hughes has always thought a lot about this horse, and I mean, he ran well in the Greenham, didn't he? You know, yeah. I mean, it was absolutely solid.
And they did say after the race he'd come on for the first outing
exactly.
as well. So, yeah. 40-1 he was. Biggest prize winner since 1973.
I think if Hughesy had been on him, it would have been half that prize, wouldn't
it? Well, that's part of the factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and if anybody fancied Kingman, you'd say if he comes on for that run, he'd be somewhere near. So 40-1 in hindsight.
It was a ridiculous price.
It was a big price, yeah.
If he was, you know, I mean, the trouble was Kingman was so visually impressive in the Greenham, it was hard to see anything beating him, but we didn't really take into account that Knight of Thunder et al. Could well come on for that run themselves, mm-hmm. and which they have done.
Yeah, back in third was Australia. All systems look set for him to be at Epsom next time.
I mean, only thing wrong now is that the price is collapsed.
Yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. His favourite for the derby. And the step-up in trip is going to bring out more improvement in him, isn't he?
You would think, wouldn't you, that those bookmakers, having had a skinner on the 2,000 guineas, might have left him at an attractive price for two or three minutes at least.
Away from the flat stuff, Mick, unless there's anything else at Newmarket that caught your eye before.
I want to mention in the Palace House, the three-year-old Hot Streak, what a race he ran behind. Proper Group 1 horses in Saul Power and Kingsgate Native. And that, that augurs well for his upcoming season, doesn't it, Hot Streak? He travelled the best horse in the race for a long way, didn't he?
Yeah.
And only just got nabbed for second close. So tremendous, tremendous run.
Yeah, as a three-year-old over against the other horses, that was impressive.
Yeah.
I was impressed with Saul Power as well. I mean, Ryan Moore had to switch him a couple of times to get him out.
Well, it's just smashing horse, Saul Power, isn't he? Yeah. He's a pocket rocket, isn't he?
He is. Plenty of pace in there. Let's talk about a few of the jump stories from Punchestown as well, Mick, before I move on. Annie Power, she won very, very easily and justified the 1-6 prize tag. I don't think there was any surprise in her winning the race, but she's now 16-1 for the Gold Cup. Could you see her going that route?
I don't know, Mark. I've got to confess, I didn't see any of Punchestown at all yesterday, but I've been looking back at the results and, from going to winning the Mayor's Champion to being 16-1 with the Gold Cup, and seeing a jump to fence in public is a bit...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Willie Mullins did say that they were considering going chasing...
Second season novices can win Gold Cups, but first season novices can't.
No.
I wouldn't want to be dipping my toe into that little pond.
Fair enough. Another mare that's been a star for Willie Mullins, Quavega. She's been covered by, I can't remember who it was now.
Beat Hollow, wasn't it?
Beat Hollow, yes. That happened over the weekend and she's been retired now. So
yeah. She had a great career, hasn't she? And, even to the end, she still ran well in defeat, didn't she?
Yes. And if she's anywhere near as good a broodmare as she was a race mare,
absolutely.
We'll see some nice little
plenty
offspring.
Plenty to look forward to, yeah.
Yeah, and the noises are that apparently there's been a hint of retirement for Hurricane Fly as well.
Yeah, I think his invincibility in Ireland has sort of been shattered a little bit now, hasn't it? We did think maybe he was just a better horse in Ireland than he was here, but Jetski put him in his place the other day, didn't he? No excuses for Hurricane Fly. I thought looked magnificent pre-race, and he's run his race, hasn't he? Jetski benefited him from a brilliant ride from the front from McCoy, confirmed his Cheltenham authority.
Yeah, and another Willie Mullins winner at another Grade 1 winner for Willie Mullins at the Punchestown Festival. Abyssial made up for that Triumph Hurdle fall with a nice win.
That's right. And you just wonder on the back of that what would have happened in the Triumph.
Yeah,
because they never really thought hurdling was his game, did they? They've always had him sort of marked down as a chaser. Now what they'll do now, whether probably go, I think they will still go chasing next year with him. Violet O'Leary, Florida Pearl's owner, she loves her chasers. I don't think they'll waste time over hurdles with this fellow. I think they'll get him chasing next year as a five-year-old, and I think he's a very exciting prospect.
There's a few interesting ones for next year going chasing, and we'll all start again in a few months' time, and it'll all be very exciting stuff. But we must concentrate on matters a little bit close to hand, Mick. We're going to look at Monday's racing, and you've picked out three races for us at Beverley on a busy bank holiday Monday, so we'll get your thoughts on those in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Monday's racing. Mick's picked out three races at Beverley. What did you make of the card at Beverley on Monday, Mick?
Yeah, competitive. Plenty of runners and some good each way angles to the handicaps.
Yes, plenty of runners in the first race we're going to look at as well, the 240, which is a 17 runner sprint handicap over 5 furlongs. Not always the easiest contest to figure out, Mick. Which ones have made the shortlist here?
Well, I've my preview of the race is draw orientated, Mark,
right?
Because we know what an important factor the draw is at Beverley. So I've gone low, and I'll go through them in race card order. The first one I'm going to look at is Store 1, and that's Rural Celebration, making its season reappearance for David O'Meara, Danny Tudup in the Saddler, daughter of Pastoral Pursuit. She's a progressive two-year-old and got off the mark at the fourth attempt at Ripon. She likes to be prominent, so she's got a good draw on the yarder in form. I just think that mark of 74 hasn't done her too many favours. But she's got plenty going for her as regards the draw, but I'll be surprised if she's quite good enough to win it off 74, but she certainly makes a shortlist. Distant Past is interesting. Another Pastoral Pursuit, this time a gelding. I'm not a great fan of the sire, I must admit, because they sometimes can be a bit funny in the stalls, and what you can't afford to do over five furlong is miss the beat.
No.
Now, he's got stall six, which I kind of just about lived with, and had the benefit of a run, still lightly raced, and won his maiden at Wolverhampton in November. And didn't run a bad race at all. I think they'll have been well pleased with that. It was in a fairly warm race won by Mecca's Angel, who by the time Distant Past goes to post, might well have followed up. I think Mecca's Angel runs somewhere, I think it's at Hamilton on Sunday. So that could well have given the form a little bit of a boost. Got £2 back as well for that seasonal reappearance, so £2 lower, and very interesting with that under his belt. And no less a judge than Ross Briley pointed out to me that Distant Past would improve for its seasonal reappearance. And the other obvious one coming out of stall three is Le Lettier, trained by Scott Dixon, Matthew Hopkins taking off seven. Went up £6 for winning at Redcar on its seasonal reappearance, but that may not be insurmountable because he was placed here last year off this mark of 69. And this stiff five, that was sixth at Redcar, this stiff five should suit. But they're the three, but I'm going to concentrate on number six, Distant Past.
Okay, Distant Past then.
Oh, another one I want to just mention down the bottom out of four is Tin Sill, trained by Nigel Tinkler. Now, this one, a course and distance nursery in September. It was a selling nursery, Mark.
Right.
And the handicapper put it up £17 for winning a selling nursery. Now, I ask you, it's still £10 higher than the winning mark. So it has dropped seven in subsequent efforts. Could well make the frame. And we've got four places to aim at as it stands at the moment. And as we know, likes it here, and will be a massive price. Could be one for the pro market on the place only market.
Yeah, okay. Tinsel then could be one for the place market, but Distant Past the selection.
Distant Past. Yeah.
Keep an eye on the 3 o'clock at Hamilton on Sunday because that's when Mecca's Angel wins.
That's so right. It should win. Though, yeah, Mecca's Angel.
Odds on favourite for the race. So just check on that result. See.
I'm not after timing because it hasn't run yet.
No, of course not. Right, we'll move on to the 3:15 next, and this is a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile and one furlong, nearly a mile and a quarter. In fact, 10 of them in the lineup for this one. Mick Grasped, I suppose, is going to attract quite a lot of attention.
Well, they're going to be all over it like a rash, aren't they? Unbeaten daughter of Zaminda. She's a half sister to plenty of winners, and she's won both of her starts narrowly, mind, maiden and the handicap. She only just scrambled home. But I looked back at that Lingfield run last time and when she made her handicap debut, and she certainly shows a good attitude in her races. There's a lot to like about the way she knuckles down. It was a bit of a blanket finish, but she was dropped on the line in front and only went up two as a result. So she's still only off 74. Graham Lee rides for Lady Cecil. She could be very hard to beat if she translates that polytrack form to the turf. And as I said, she does show good attitude. And I think this track with its stiff uphill finish should suit her. The only thing wrong is I think they're going to be all over like a rash, and the price is going to be abysmal. And there is one in there that's very interesting, and that's Ever Fortune, who makes a quick reappearance. Got a good strike rate on turf, this horse, 3 from 9, and made a good winning return at Pontefract on Wednesday in an apprentice handicap. Now, that means that he gets no penalty. Dale Swift taking over from Megan Carberry. And he was... so he's can race off the same mark of 69. And it's worth remembering that at Epsom last summer, he was second, a close second at that, off a mark of 73. So he's arguably still well in Everfortune, and we know he's in good form. So I'm going to make him the selection, because I think Grasps is going to take too much out of the market. The other one to mention is Moccasin, who's not from 12 on turf, but has got races in him, this horse. He was a winner in France, hasn't done anything. Well, I said he'd been placed a few times, but he hasn't done any winning for his new connections. But he didn't run too badly at Wolverhampton on his reappearance. And now that his mark slipped back into the 70s, there will be winning races. I think he's playing for a place here rather than a win. But keep an eye on him, Moccasin. I don't think he'll be far away, but I think he's got a tough task trying to give £5 to Grasped and even more to Everfortune.
OK, then, so Everfortune, the selection, Grasped may well win, but might be too short. But keep an eye on the price if it's not
absolutely
too prohibitive.
Yeah,
that will be another one to consider. Moving on to the 350, then, the final race we're going to look at, and we finish with a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile. And we've got last year's winner, Toto Scarlacci, back
absolutely
in the field. I mean, do you think he can follow up, or he's got a bit of a tough task off top weight?
He has got a tough task off top weight, but he's off the same mark as he won it last year. He's won nine of his 55, this horse. He's been a real star, hasn't he? And four from seven over course and distance.
Right, okay.
So he just like it here, and Beverley form often works out well. And it's worth remembering, Mark, that he did win this particular race second time up last year, and he had the preparum for it 17 days ago. So David O'Mara has obviously teed him up for it again, and I don't think he's going to be far away. He makes my shortlist anyway. I'm not going to go with him, but he won't be far away. The other one to mention is Woody Bay, who also made a good reappearance at Nottingham behind Robert the Painter, who ran such a good race in the Thurscon Cup yesterday. Just got collared close home, but looked the winner a furlong out. And he won three times last year, and was a very consistent horse throughout the season. He's still, that mark of 76 still gives him work, some work to play with, I think. And he's only £3 higher than his last win. I think he looks sure to be involved at Woody Bay, and might even be a nice each way price. But I'm going to give the vote to Ingleby Symphony, who's a filly I do like. She's got a really good attitude, this filly. The handicap, and she made a really good reappearance run at Ayr the other day, and the handicapper hasn't moved her mark. She's still off 71. She's very consistent and likeable. She also ran well here on her only previous visit, and with the Fahey stable in such good form, getting weight from the field, I'm going to go with Ingleby Symphony. And it should be good betting heat, this. It shouldn't go bonkers about any of them. It should go 5-2, 3-1 the field, I would think. And a really good class for this, I think. Ingleby Symphony for me.
Okay. She seems to get on pretty well with Paddy Mathers as well. He
absolutely
won her at Ayr back in the last season.
Yeah, exactly. And
second on last time.
Class, that's right. He rode her at Ayr on her reappearance, and he's kept the ride.
Yeah.
So I think, she'll give you a run for your money anyway, because she doesn't know how not to.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Mickey, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, good card at Beverley. And I'm looking forward to seeing Distant Past again after that promising reappearance run at Thurs behind Mecca's Angel. That runs in the 240. In the 315, I think Grasp's going to take an awful chunk out of the market there. So I'm going to go with the unpenalised Everfortune, who made a successful reappearance in an apprentice's handicap at Ponty last week. And Megan Carberry is being replaced by Dale Swift. So that should be a decent price as well. And in the 350, a really good class four, with last year's winner Toto Scarlacci back for another go, I'm going to go with the bottom weight here, Ingleby Symphony, to build on that promising reappearance second at Ayr.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Six meetings to look forward to on Bank Holiday Monday afternoon. Bath, Beverley, Foslas, Kempton, Warwick and Windsor. So tune in for all of that. Should be a good day. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.